Chapter 2. The Reasons You Should Delay Taking Social Security Benefits. Your decision about when to apply for Social Security benefits should not be based on the fear that you will die early. If you die young, you'll be dead. You won't have any financial worries. Your fear should be that you will live a long time and outlive your money. To introduce some of the complexities involved in Social Security decision-making, I am going to start with the most straightforward example. An unmarried individual who is weighing whether to take his Social Security at age 62 or wait until later. Once we establish the basic analysis, I will address these same questions as they apply to married couples. If you are unmarried but in a committed relationship, the ideas presented in this and the following chapter should offer some serious food for thought. Expanding Social Security benefits is one of the primary financial advantages of getting married. I have an idea for a book, Get Married for the Money, and it's only partly tongue-in-cheek. I had another client, a 62-year-old unmarried gentleman who I will call Reluctant Robert. He was weighing the advantages of applying for Social Security at age 62 versus age 70. Reluctant Robert didn't trust the government, and he wanted his Social Security benefits immediately. First, he argued, if he didn't live until age 70, he'd never receive any money from Social Security, a complete waste of all his dutifully paid deductions. And second, even though he knew he would receive a higher benefit if he waited, he didn't believe the higher benefit would outpace, over the long term, the deficit engendered by waiting, even if he did live to a ripe old age. But was he correct? We took Reluctant Robert through our paces. We told him that if he applied for benefits at age 62 and deposited every check he received into an account that earned 4%, which is a very generous rate of return for an account that guarantees his principal, he would have almost $288,524 in the bank on his 70th birthday. On the other hand, if he waited until age 70 to apply, he'd have received no money at all from Social Security. Money versus no money. It's a no-brainer, right? Then I showed Robert the peer-reviewed Figure 3 on page 19 of the print edition of this book, which demonstrates that if he waits and then applies for the higher benefit at age 70, he'll have more money at age 83 than if he had started collecting at age 62. We wanted to compare apples to apples, so we assumed that, in both scenarios, Reluctant Robert banked his Social Security proceeds in an account that earned a 4% rate of return. I am being generous in assuming that Reluctant Robert could find a safe investment at 4%. If the investment earns closer to 1 or 2%, which is closer to the guaranteed rates of return available from banks at the time this book was written, the advantage of waiting would be considerably greater and the break-even point even earlier. It wouldn't be realistic to do a comparison where Reluctant Robert receives more than 4%, because Social Security increases are guaranteed, and I don't think any legitimate advisor would say you could get better than 4% guaranteed these days. So let's take a look at what I showed him. The assumptions used for Figure 3 can be found on page 99. Reluctant Robert was still grumbling. The early years look pretty bad. He's paid into the system for years, and until the day he turns 70, he will not have gotten a dime out of it. His golfing buddies will be laughing at him because they've been collecting checks for years. But look at what happens when he turns 70 and he does get that first check. It's a lot higher than the one he'd have gotten if he'd signed up at age 62. If Reluctant Robert had gone with his gut instinct and started taking benefits at age 62, he would be receiving monthly payments of $2,790, which, because of cost of living adjustments, or COLAs, would increase to $3,480 by the time he is age 70. If he listens to our advice and waits until age 70 to apply, he will receive $5,635 per month plus COLAs. That's a difference of $2,155 every month, or an annual increase in benefits of $25,860 plus COLAs for the rest of his life. If he lives until age 95, the higher benefit earned by waiting means a difference of $213,798. Robert just couldn't believe it. In other words, in many cases, you can double your Social Security benefit by waiting until you are 70 to start collecting. For virtually all of my current and prospective clients, getting Social Security right is important, but it is even more important for individuals with fewer financial resources. When I give Social Security workshops, I aggressively give my books to the hotel staff. Many of those employees might benefit from the information even more than many of the attendees. I don't know if any of them read the book, but I hope some do. If you are reading this book, chances are that you probably have a substantial portfolio, but it is individuals without a substantial portfolio who will experience an even greater difference in their lifestyles than my typical reader if they follow our Social Security recommendations. How your benefit is calculated. The amount of Social Security that you can expect to receive will depend on several factors. These include how much you earned over your working career and when you earned it, your marital status, the age at which you apply for benefits, and the strategy or strategies that you use to claim them, which I'll discuss in detail later in this book. The Social Security Administration periodically mails a statement that estimates your retirement benefit, but it is best to access it online at ssa.gov/mystatement. The Social Security website, ssa.gov, has some other interesting features that you can also use. You can click on the button that says Estimate Your Retirement Benefit. You can also access their planning calculators by going to ssa.gov/planners/benefitcalculators.htm. Larry Kotlikoff offers an excellent free calculator at basic.esplanner.com. You can also upgrade to a paid version that provides some incredibly powerful features for do-it-yourself readers. When should I apply? I told Robert that deciding when to apply for Social Security benefits might be one of the most important financial decisions he would ever make. In our financial advisory practice, we review all the options available to our clients before they file for benefits. If they have already filed, we still review their available options because sometimes they can make changes that will allow them to get a higher Social Security benefit later by stopping their benefit now, or in some cases, even giving the money back. Of course, we love it when readers get the strategy right from the beginning, but sometimes a course correction can also make a significant difference. The age at which you can receive full benefits is determined by the year you were born, and it is called your full retirement age, or FRA. If you were born earlier than 1943, you have already reached your FRA. If you were born between 1943 and 1954, you will reach your FRA when you turn 66. If you were born in 1955 or later, your FRA will be greater than age 66. Let's assume that you were born between 1943 and 1954 and that your FRA is 66. If you wait to apply for benefits at age 66, you will receive what is called your primary insurance amount, or PIA. You are permitted to apply for benefits before you turn 66, but if you do, it will cost you. If you apply at age 62, for example, your monthly benefit will be reduced by 25%. You will also forego the cost of living adjustments, or COLAs, that would have been applied to the 25% you won't receive because you applied early. What does that reduction mean in terms of dollars and cents? If your PIA is $2,000 and you apply for Social Security benefits at age 62 instead of your FRA of 66, the 25% penalty means that your benefit will be reduced by $500 every month for the rest of your life. Over 12 months, that's $6,000, and that doesn't include the cost of living increases you're missing out on. Over 10 years, you will have missed out on $60,000, not including COLAs, for the simple reason that you applied for Social Security benefits 4 years before your FRA. Now, are you starting to understand why I told reluctant Robert to not apply for Social Security when he became eligible at age 62? In his case, the penalty that he would have received by applying before his FRA would have cost him dearly. This news is even worse for you baby boomers. If you were born in 1955 or later, your FRA is even greater than age 66. So, let's suppose that you were born in 1955. If so, your FRA is 66 plus 2 months, and the penalty you will receive for applying at age 62 is even costlier than 25%. By filing for benefits at 62, you didn't just apply 4 years early. you applied 4 years and 2 months too early. And the later that you were born, the higher the penalty for applying for benefits before your FRA. If your FRA is 67, born in 1960 or later, the penalty for applying at age 62 is a whopping 30%. But back to readers born between 1943 and 1954. If you wait beyond your full retirement age to apply, your monthly benefit will be increased by 8% for every year you wait, up until you turn 70. The increase in benefit you receive because you waited is called a delayed retirement credit, or DRC. It is like getting two marshmallows because you didn't eat the first one when you had the chance. Your benefit also earns colas, like a bonus chocolate bar that you can melt and eat with your marshmallow when you're 70, even though you aren't receiving a check right now. If you get your Roth IRA conversions right, you get another bonus, graham crackers. For the purposes of this book, we will refer to the DRCs as 8% annual raises that you can earn if you wait to apply for benefits even after your full retirement age. So what do the DRCs mean in terms of dollars and cents? Well, if your PIA at your FRA of 66 is $2,000 and you wait until age 70 to apply, Social Security will give you those DRCs, or raises, and increase your benefit by at least 8% every year. And if you wait 4 years, that's a 32% increase. So you'll get at least $2,640 every month for the rest of your life. Your benefit amount, by the way, is also increased for COLAs, but to keep the math simple, this example only shows how the DRCs work. So that's at least $7,680 more every year, and it's guaranteed for the rest of your life. Over 10 years, that's at least $76,800 more than you would have received if you applied at your FRA. So let's return to reluctant Robert. He was 62 and had three basic options available to him. He could apply for benefits at 62, be penalized, and lose out on his raises, for which he would receive $18,000, or 1,500 times 12, every year. Or he could wait until age 66 to apply and get $24,000, that's 2,000 times 12, every year, avoiding the penalty, but still losing out on his raises. Or he could wait until 70 to apply and get $31,680, that's 2,640 times 12, every year, avoiding the penalty and earning 8% raises for 4 years. Note, these are conservative estimates because, to keep the math simple, I did not include COLAs that would also be applied. But still, reluctant Robert was skeptical. He understood the math, but told me that both of his parents had died at age 80 and that he wasn't sure he would live long enough to make the strategy pay off. Well, if he dies before age 82, then yes, looking only at the numbers, it would have been a bad decision. But Larry Kotlikoff, a Boston University economist and one of the country's leading experts on Social Security, exposed the weakness in Robert's thinking, and in his opinion, the misguided priorities. And this is one of the most important concepts in the book. If you and your spouse, if you are married, die early, you will have no financial problems because you will be dead. Okay, maybe that's a bit harsh, but it's true. What you should be worried about is that you and or your spouse will outlive your savings. So when I told that to reluctant Robert, he agreed that he would be very, very happy if he had a large government-guaranteed check coming in every month if he did live beyond age 82. Note, this higher guaranteed income is even more important for married couples, and I'll show you why later in this book. Here's another thing that I knew instinctively, but Larry Kotlikoff articulated it as well as I have ever heard. If you want to hold off on applying for Social Security, you don't have to spend your early years of retirement living frugally. While you are waiting to collect, you can still spend the exact same amount of money as if you were collecting benefits. Let me explain. Let's assume your benefit at age 66 is $3,000 a month, but you elect to wait until age 70 to apply because it will increase to $4,528 a month if you get those DRCs and COLAs. You can still spend $3,000 every month at 66, even if you don't collect your Social Security then. In order to do so, though, you will have to dip into your portfolio, an idea that seems anathema to most people. They think they should hang on to their portfolios for as long as possible because they want to have a nest egg they can spend in their later years. The fear of dipping into the portfolio increases if the entire portfolio is made up of IRA and retirement plan money that will trigger taxes upon withdrawal. But those are false fears that could cause you to make the wrong decision with your Social Security strategy. The additional income you will receive from Social Security by waiting will more than compensate for dipping into your portfolio, even if your portfolio consists of nothing but IRAs. I don't want you to live like a pauper in your early retirement because you are holding up on your Social Security so that you can live it up at 70. The idea is to be able to spend as much or more now and still be guaranteed a higher income for the rest of your and your spouse's lives. For a thorough discussion of this point, we recommend Larry Kotlikoff's book, Spend Till the End. And by the way, to listen to past episodes of Larry Kotlikoff on the Lang Money Hour, where smart money talks, visit the link www.paytaxeslater.com/radio-show/guests/Larry Kotlikoff. And you can find this link on page 28 of the print copy of this book. Collecting benefits while you're working. If you continue to work, you should know how the Social Security benefits you are entitled to receive can be affected by wage income. So let's take the worst-case scenario and assume that you are working but want to apply for Social Security because you need additional income. If you are under FRA and exceed an established earned income limit, $17,040 in 2018, your Social Security benefit will be reduced by $1 for every $2 you earn in excess of the limit. Unfortunately, this incentivizes some individuals to make up to $17,040, but no more, because they don't want their Social Security income reduced. Here's an example. Suppose you file for benefits at age 62, and your payment is $1,000 a month, or $12,000 per year, but you also plan to work and earn $24,000. That's $6,960 over the 2018 income limit of $17,040. Social Security will reduce your benefit by $3,480, or $1 for every $2 you earn over the income limit, from your benefit. So, even though you might think that you're going to get $12,000 from Social Security that year, you'll only get $8,520. I didn't want you to retire at 62 and start collecting Social Security in the first place, and I certainly don't want you to realize that you made a mistake and go back to work only to find out that your benefits will be reduced because of your wage income. Now, don't confuse this reduction with the tax that you may owe on your benefit. Depending on your income from other sources, as much as 85% of your income from Social Security will be taxed. The rate at which it is taxed, of course, depends on the tax bracket that you're in. If you are FRA or older, there is no reduction in your benefit for working, no matter how much you earn while working. That, in itself, isn't a good enough reason to apply for Social Security benefits while you are still working. Recognizing the optimal age at which to apply for benefits is a big decision that should not be taken lightly, and the decision is even more important for married couples.